Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How important is our daily quiet time? To encourage women to develop a lifetime habit of spending daily quiet time with God, Debbie Stewart authored 20 Minutes a Day for the Rest of Your Life and 20 Lessons Learned from 20 Minutes a Day. She's communicated God's transformative truths to women through serving as a conference speaker and Bible teacher. Her faith in Christ is the reason we're here to talk about relationship with Jesus. Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus? Where is your faith? Have you put your faith in Christ? In Christ who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Will you open your heart to Jesus? I hope so. I pray so. Someone today may be already walking with the Lord on a broad spectrum in your journey with Christ. Maybe you'll never miss a day of church. And maybe you've been burned. You feel like you haven't been welcomed in the body of Christ. Or something may have happened. I don't know. But God knows. And you know. Well, I believe today Debbie will encourage you with her story. Debbie Stewart. Stewart is the Director of Ministry Initiatives with Hope for the Heart, the ministry of June Hunt. She lives in McKinney, Texas with her husband, John Mark. They have two grown children and a grandson. This is a pre-recorded interview with Debbie Stewart. Debbie, welcome to our show.
Great. Thank you so much, Danny. I'm so honored to be with you today.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana. So I'm kind of a Louisiana girl, even though I have been in Texas for some 17 years by this point, but I grew up and still have family in Shreveport, Louisiana.
What was it like for you growing up there?
Well, I'll tell you, in our family life, this is what I like to say. I don't know if y'all are familiar with this term, but this is what I like to say in Texas. I come from a long line of wackadoos, if you know what I mean. There's been some dysfunction in the family for generations, I might add. So I say that because it is all linked not only to how I grew up, but how my mother grew up. She was in a very unhealthy home life, and my mother had never been to church a day in her life. My mother did not know anything about the Lord Jesus and his sacrifice that he made for her. And she was in a little street in Shreveport, Louisiana, when another young woman invited her to go to church, and my mother went to church and for the first time heard about Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross. She gave her life to Christ that day, and this was in her adult years, and so she began to raise our family in church. Now, my dad was an alcoholic, and he just suffered with alcoholism for as long as I can remember. But it was my mom that made sure that we were in church. But when all of that happened, not long after that, my mom was diagnosed with cancer of a progressive nature. And so my mom went home to be with the Lord when she was 40 years of age, and I was 23, and I had a five-week-old baby boy. Yeah, growing up in that environment where we didn't have a lot of time in church and getting to know the things of the Lord, it sent me on a quest, if you will, when my mom died, really to search out the Lord. Is he real? Does he have a plan and a purpose for my life? And how do difficulties and trials and loss, how does all of that play into what the Lord is doing, because that just made no sense to me. And it was during that time, really questioning the Lord and really seeking Him out, that I gave my life to Christ. And so I was 23 years of age, and I was actually serving in physical therapy. That was my job. But right after I gave my life to the Lord called me into ministry, and I've been doing it ever since. And when I got into women's ministry, I knew that's what I was made for. But I guess you could say, people ask me all the time, how did you get in ministry? It was really through a tragedy and through the loss of my mom, and then that journey that the Lord, I went on with the Lord to seek out His plan and purpose for my life during all of that time.
What went on in your heart when you lost your mom so suddenly, shockingly, that brought you to a place where you began to search for God? Someone today might be listening, wondering, okay, did she search for God? Did she have any other background spiritually or religiously at that time that she could fall back on? What would you say?
I had a little bit of church background when my mom in her adult years became a Christian, and we were young at that time. She began to take us to church, and so we had some background in that. But it became real to me when I just began to ask the Lord. I really wanted to know, you know, are you real, and do you really have a plan and a purpose for a life? And I had not really seen that played out. My mom didn't live long enough for me to see that played out in her life. But I made a commitment to the Lord during that process after my mom died, and said to the Lord, if you are real and there is a plan and a purpose for my life, I want to find it. And I'm asking you to reveal it to me. And just through that process of really seeking Him and praying that prayer, He began to reveal that to me. And He did it through just some series of circumstances where I worked, but mainly He did that through His Word as I was seeking Him out. And in Psalms 37 and several other places, one that the Lord really spoke was in Luke 1:45. And this is what that verse says. Blessed is she who believes what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And I knew that the Lord was calling me into ministry. And as a result of that, I put a little hat on in my Bible where that scripture is, and just said to the Lord, I'm believing you for this word, and I've been trying to walk in it ever since.
How did you know? What were the circumstances when things became clear to you that the Lord was calling you into women's ministry?
It was through a scripture in 2 Corinthians 8. Let me think. Oh, it's been a long time since I've looked that up. It's 2 Corinthians 8, 10 through 12. Let me kind of paraphrase it. I don't know that I can quote it exactly, but it basically says this. And I love the way that this scripture starts off. It says this: here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. And all of those days I've been asking the Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to place my life? What kind of vocation? Where are you calling me in a ministry? And that's what the Lord said. Here is my advice about what is best for you in this matter. You were the first to have the desire to give enthusiastically. Let that be matched by your completion according to your means. For if your service is there, your gift is accepted according to what you have and not according to what you don't have. And I had found myself, Danny, telling the Lord all the things that I didn't have. Like, I can't do ministry. I don't have an education in ministry. I didn't go to seminary. I don't have anyone asking me at a church to come on staff and serve in women's ministry. I still have no education in that area. I have no invitation from anyone. I have nothing. So I just kept telling the Lord, I can't do this. I can't work with women. And that's the scripture that the Lord used. He's asking us to give what we have, not what we don't have. And that day I said to the Lord, I wish I had so much more to give you. I wish I had a great seminary education, but I don't. I wish I had invitations from a lot of churches to come and be on their staff. I don't have that either. But this is what I do have. I have a desire to serve you for the rest of my days, and I have a willingness to obey whatever you say, wherever that leads, whatever that costs me. You know, there's always a cost.
There's always a cost, she says. Suzanne, how inspiring it is when we think about someone who God is leading, and yet we don't know, she didn't know exactly how God was going to move in her life, but at the same time, she stepped out in faith.
And she just kept pursuing and trusting.
I think that's something we need to be reminded about. What would cause someone to keep on trusting?
Well, I believe it's the Holy Spirit in her, working in her. He's begun a good work, and my goodness, how he worked it out. But I'm also taken by, she had the tragedy of losing her mother, and just her commitment to find out, is this God real? And pursuing him. And now she's not giving up. She feels the call. Nobody's asked her. She doesn't have the seminary background. But it's just kind of like God got a hold of her and just kind of scooped her up and said, okay, trust me, here we go.
Well, she's certainly on fire to draw women into the Word of God and equip them to become powerful influencers. And she's today with the ministry of June Hunt. Well, that's an international media ministry. And boy, with that kind of faith, that kind of persistence, a hard-headedness for the Lord, is the way I would say it.
And Danny, I had the blessing of hearing her speak at a luncheon earlier this year. And she's one of the most gifted speakers I've listened to. So, it really is precious. And then again, her commitment to be in the Word of God daily.
Well, when we come back from our break, we'll have more in this pre-recorded interview with Debbie Stewart. Find out more about Debbie at hopefortheheart.org. Again, hopefortheheart.org. She's the author of 20 Minutes a Day for the Rest of Your Life. She also wrote 20 Lessons Learned from 20 Minutes a Day. Debbie Stewart, sharing her heart with you and her passion too. Passion for women, passion for God, passion for the Word. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Debbie Stewart says, I'm convinced that finding, believing, and pursuing God's plan and purpose for our lives at all costs is worth any sacrifice. And she says, and I plan to proclaim it. Well, and she's certainly doing that. Debbie Stewart, she serves on the ministry with June Hunt at the ministry Hope for the Heart. In fact, you can find out more about her ministry at hopefortheheart.org. This is a pre-recorded interview with Debbie. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Debbie Stewart, you can find out more about our show, get this program in its entirety, at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Now, here's more in our special time with Debbie Stewart. Because you have lived it, I think somebody today, for example, may feel a certain level of their own inadequacy. It's a moment of dynamic tension inside. They want God to use them, but they see some gaps in between, some insufficiencies, as they, we'll put a word, we'll give them that word, but that's the feeling, a feeling of inadequacy. They're insufficient for what they would like God to do through them, or what they feel God has placed in them to have perhaps a godly desire, a godly ambition. But you strike the chord of one who is completely abandoned to the will of God, claiming this promise as your own, appropriating it for yourself, personalizing it. That seems to be very powerful, to have had a powerful impact on you. How do you feel that empowered you to move forward in the way that you've been used by God?
Scripture is the main thing that does that, but the scripture that the Lord really used is Acts 20:24. And that verse says, but my life is worth nothing. Or one translation says, I count my life worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. And so when that becomes my foundation, when that becomes my purpose and vision and mission in life, no matter what happens, no matter if I feel like I'm equipped or if I'm qualified, and since that calling some 25 years ago now, actually it's been 25 years, since that happened, there have been some other really major tragedies that have happened in my life and in my family. We have a son who is incarcerated. We parented a prodigal for about 7 years, and he has been incarcerated for 8 years. And through that process, I came dangerously close to walking away from the calling of God on my life because I thought it would disqualify me. I thought that surely I'm not able any longer to lead. And the Lord, in no uncertain terms, let me know that even when tragedy hit, that you can know that your pain is for your progress. You've not been cheated. You've been chosen. And the Lord chose me for really prison ministry. Now that all that's happened, before our son was incarcerated, I didn't know the first thing that went on in prison or what people who incarcerated felt or what their families went through. But I know now, and I know the significant need in that area. And so the Lord has opened up our whole life in ministry and our church in several places. Now we've been doing prison ministry for a number of years, a lot of facilities. We've taken tens of thousands of resources and Bibles, and I could just go on and on about the great things that the Lord has done. But the truth is, it started with tragedy. And I think that that is something that the enemy uses in the lives of women to get them off the course that the Lord has them on and the plan of action that the Lord has designed for their life. When we sometimes, when it's painful, we quit.
Debbie, you've hit a nerve. You've got your finger on the pulse of someone today that struggles with their own sense of, yes, I want to be used by God, and yet a tragedy, like you say, or some family circumstance that may seem to disqualify someone. And I think we need to talk through this. And as you've already gotten started, when we come back from our break, let's go further, because I think in this, there is a redemption. In this, there's hope. And one thing I love just listening to you, Debbie Stewart, is the way that you bring the Word of God into every aspect of our conversation, relevantly, powerfully, and graciously. Debbie Stewart, yeah, she's on fire to draw women into the Word of God and equip them to become powerful influencers in their families and communities. You've heard her share, hey, there's a certain level of transparency. She's a leader, a speaker, sought after. Can you see why? She's talking heart to heart with you, with us. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So Debbie Stewart shares, she says, "It's my utmost desire to motivate women toward a deeper and more meaningful relationship with the one who loves them the most." You know, she's deeply burdened for those behind bars. You've heard a little bit about why that's the way that it is, at least how strongly she feels about that in her heart. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. I'm so glad that you're with us today. This is a pre-recorded interview with Debbie Stewart, who ministers with June Hunt at Hope for the Heart. In fact, you can find out more about their ministry at hopefortheheart.org. But let's take this in. Here's more with Debbie Stewart sharing how God continues to use her, even though she's challenged with her family situation.
Glad to do that. We are even at a place now, having been through this incarceration with him for some 8 years. The Lord really used Acts 27 to walk us through the years that brought into our life and just how that changed our family dynamic. I encourage your listeners to just take a look at Acts chapter 27. It gives all the principles that you need on how to have a successful shipwreck. I know you probably think that's an oxymoron. Nobody can have a successful shipwreck. The nature of a shipwreck is that there's wreckage. But the truth is, what the enemy intends for evil, God means for good. And I want to get to the good of every painful experience I have ever had, because I'm believing God has a great purpose, greater than I can see. 2 Corinthians talks about that says your momentary troubles, your affliction for right now is working out a far greater glory. And the Lord is going to use it for far more good than we can even imagine. But in Acts 27, they're headed for a shipwreck, and Paul calls the crew together, and he tells them to take courage and believe God. And that's two foundational anchors that you can keep in times of storm, that you can take courage and believe God. The Bible says in Ezekiel 14:23, "You shall know," and I like to personalize the scripture, so I like to say, "And you, Debbie, shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done, saith the Lord." And when I can look at hardship and when I can look at painful circumstances through the scriptures, it makes it not only bearable, but I can begin to see the usefulness in that. I have watched how the Lord has changed our son into a rebellious young man and into now a man who walks with the Lord. Kind of reminds me of Acts 13:22. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. We visited Jared not long ago in Childress, Texas. And if you're not familiar, the listeners aren't familiar with the prison system, it's very much like what you see on TV. There are 18, 20-foot fences. There's curled razor wire. There's guards and stations with guns. And we visited Jared that day, and you don't take anything, and you don't take your Bible in or anything like that. And there were some scriptures that Jared wanted to talk to me and his dad about. And so he just decided to memorize all of those scriptures. I mean, it was a ton of scriptures. When we left that day, my husband and I, we were walking out, and of course, we're going through the checkout process that's quite stringent, and we're watching the guards and the towers, and my husband looked over to me, and he, based on the great visit we had had with our son, my husband looked over to me and he said, "I am so proud of our son." And I looked back at him and immediately I said, "I know, me too." And then we just busted out laughing. We're like, who leaves prison saying we are so proud of our son? You know, we're just so proud of our son. And here's the thing. We are proud of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in that boy's life, that we can visibly see he's transformed our son. He has turned things around. What the enemy intended for evil, the Lord turned that for good. He's changed me. I'm not the girl I used to be before all of this happened in our life. And he has started ministry as a result. And so with listeners who are walking through a shipwreck or a train wreck, or maybe they're living by consequences of their choices, or maybe by the consequences of someone else's choice. When you walk this thing out with the Lord, you cannot go wrong. The Bible tells us in Daniel that in the last days, the enemy seeks to wear out the saints of the Most High. And I don't want him to wear me out. I want to be armed, equipped, and ready for any battle that the Lord sees fit for me to fight. I want to be ready for that. Matter of fact, let me just share this one thing. I've memorized this. This is what the Lord said to me one morning when we were praying for Jared, and it was a very difficult time, and I started out praying. Perhaps I ended up whining. I don't know, but I was just asking the Lord to just bring the relief and just let this stop. And this is exactly what the Lord dropped into my spirit when I was whining about those difficulties. He said this: when you pray to be delivered from your difficulties, and I do so, you're only being rescued. You're not being victorious. I'm trying to train you, Debbie, to be armed, equipped, and disciplined for the adversary, but you keep trying to end the training process. I want you to win this battle, not be excused from it.
Debbie,
clearly, When I heard that morning, it changed my perspective entirely.
That's what I was going to ask, is how had God changed you? And that's a beautiful scripture, a beautiful word from the Lord. Share just a little bit more on that for me, please.
I would love to. In my perspective of things, it was hard for me to understand why someone who was making good decisions, I never was a rebellious teenager. I never did drugs. I was kind of a straight-A student. I've obeyed the rules that my parents had. I just have that bent, I guess you could say. And here's what I could not reconcile with the Lord. If I am trying to do right, if I walked away from a career in physical therapy, which paid pretty good, and surrendered my life to ministry, which doesn't pay near as much, if I'm trying to be faithful, I'm meeting with the Lord every morning, and that's my challenge for people wherever I go, 20 minutes a day for the rest of your life, no excuses, no negotiations, no conditions, no rationalization. You spend some time with the Lord every day. And I was been trying to do that for years now. So what I couldn't reconcile was, if I'm trying to be faithful, if I'm serving you, if I'm doing right, then why have we been shipwrecked? You know, it's one thing to look at somebody who's making wrong decisions and go, that's going to lead to a shipwreck. Look what you're doing. That's going to get you off course. But I was on course, and I was shipwrecked. And I even said to the Lord, and I didn't mean to be disrespectful, but I said to the Lord, like, I don't get that. I don't understand why you were shipwrecked, a servant, just like Paul. He was in Acts 27. He was doing exactly what the Lord asked him to do. He was being obedient, and the Lord shipwrecked him. And so here's what the Lord said through that. When I said to the Lord, like, I don't get that. I don't understand it. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. Like, I don't get it. And this is what the Lord said back. I don't care. You know, I don't care if you don't get it. I'm not asking you to get it. I'm asking you to do it. And it was a hard, hard lesson in sheer obedience. I'm talking bravery, radical faith, new level of surrender. I'm talking new level of abandonment. And when I got to that level, it began to matter not to me where we went and what the Lord did. My life was his. And any way he could use it, he used brokenness in my life, and those things are useful in the hands of the Master.
Debbie, thank you. This is such a powerful message for our listeners.
Indeed, it's powerful for us, Suzanne, listening to her in this interview, pre-recorded interview. Isn't it amazing how honest she is? I mean, it's disarmingly honest, and yet we can relate with what she says, because we all feel like at times we are doing the best we can for the Lord, and the Lord is even leading us, and we get shipwrecked.
It just makes me, it takes me back a little bit, because when we say we want to serve Him with all our heart, every fiber of our being, are we ready to be shipwrecked? Hmm. We need to be, because He's going to deliver us through that shipwreck, just like He did Paul.
Wow. I think it takes a lot of courage to articulate it in the way that she's doing it, and certainly for you to share it in that way, because when we are shipwrecked, it really is contrary to positive feelings. And
but it's
those
no
are the very places where we grow.
It's no surprise to Him.
When we come back, more from Debbie Stewart. Hey, we're talking about life in Christ. And you might be saying, geez, Danny, it seems very hard, almost unfair. And look at how God is treating Debbie Stewart. Well, she comes with a servant's heart. She's rejoicing in a way that only God can enable someone in her circumstances. It speaks to us, and I think we should let it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Honoring decades of excellence in women's ministries, Proven Way Ministries honored Debbie Stewart as the 2011 recipient of the Shining Star Award. It recognizes outstanding women in leadership. She was awarded the 2015 Woman of the Word Award by Salem Communications and nominated for the Woman of Excellence Award in 2016. Debbie Stewart, hey, when you listen to her, it's just a marvel to me of her heart, her love for the Lord, her heart for people, and her commitment to the sharing, the teaching of the Word of God in spite of the life circumstances, which could easily devastate people. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host and dear friend. And today, Debbie Stewart, in a pre-recorded interview, in this last segment, open your heart, really, open your heart to what the Lord has to say to you through Debbie.
And I'll go back and pick up to what Suzanne said about what has changed in me. I have a new hashtag these days, and it goes like this. Hashtag, I ain't that girl anymore. And I'm not that girl. What I mean by that is in days prior to this tragedy, I could be fearful. I could be worried. I would worry. I could have anxiety. I could be stressed out, and I could be paralyzed by fear and by worry and those things. And I'm not that girl anymore. I have learned a new level of trust with the Lord, and the enemy's not going to paralyze me with fear. And I'm not going to shrink back in obscurity, and I'm not going to just fall back and wait till things get better. I'm going to move forward in faith every day. I'm going to move forward in faith, and I'm going to push back the gates of hell, and I'm going to take back some of the things that the enemy stole from me that, quite frankly, I pretty much let him, I guess, because he had some control over my mind and my perspective. And when the Lord began to change those things, then I found a new sense of bravery and courage and usefulness in difficult days. Hey, just sometimes with courage, you just do it scared. You do it in tears. And the Bible says to sow those seeds, that if you will sow those seeds of faith, you will reap a harvest, even if you sow in tears. So one of the steps that I made that the Lord required me to make, and a change and an action point maybe for your listeners today, if you could just do one thing, if you don't have the energy, if you don't have the passion or the zeal to do anything, if you could just do one thing in your life today, I would ask that you begin to make room for the Lord to work in your life. For me, I was praying every day that the Lord would do this and the Lord would do that and please do this. And what the Lord began to help me realize is you haven't made room for me to work. I just kept praying that the Lord would work. Well, I almost went 14 shades of crazy trying to get the Lord to work. And his word tells me I can't do that. I don't make him work. My job is to make room for him to work. So I began to make some room. So let me be practical. What does it mean to make room in your life for the Lord to do a great work? We recently had a new grandbaby just in December, so I've got two grandsons. I'm going to tell you something. When that first grandson came along 2 years ago, I made room for him in my life. I made room in my house. I made room in my checkbook. I made room in my schedule. I made room in my heart and in my mind, and everything in my life made room for that little boy. And that's where the Lord said, see, that's how you make room. I want you to make room for me in your schedule, Debbie. I want you to make room in your life for me to, I want to do a great work, even through the hardest thing in your life. I want to do the greatest thing that ever happened. But you're going to have to make some room, which means you're going to have to let some things go, maybe some unhealthy relationships, maybe some unproductive time wasters. And I want to be the first to say, I would never point to something in someone else's life and say, oh, this show is wrong, or reading this book is right, or this is wrong, and you shouldn't be doing this, and you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying anything that you're doing is right or it's wrong, but this is the question I believe the Lord is asking. Is it the most valuable for your time? Is with someone that has a call of God on your life, is what you're doing, is how you're spending your days and your hours and your minutes, is that the best use of your time? Or can you make some room for the Lord to work? I also would love to give, so that's the good action plan for your listeners, is something that a little experiment, a little activity I had to work through is, am I giving the Lord plenty of room in my life? And I realized that I wasn't. Another thing that I begin to pray every day, as I begin to pray for the Lord's providence. And that's maybe an unusual word that we don't use every day, but this is the definition. I looked it up from an old dictionary that we have in our home. And here's the definition of providence, way before Webster defined it. The definition is this: God's divine care, control, and guidance over a life, situations, and circumstances, semicolon, making you ready for future events. And I began to pray for God's providence in my life and in the life of my son and all that we were going through, that his providence would lead us down the path that he had marked out for us. Danny?
How has your husband responded to all of this? Can we touch upon that?
Absolutely. He has been really my greatest cheerleader. He has been one that has helped me to keep balance in all of that. And what I mean is when Mother's Day comes and Christmas comes around another year, he's the one that helps me to keep this in line according to God's timetable. Our son was up for parole just last year, as a matter of fact, in 2016. And when we began to pray about that, I would hear the Lord say to us to act in faith and to act in faith. And we begin to act in faith. Matter of fact, we brought a dresser from our garage into our room and began to fill it with clothes and things that we knew Jared would need when he got out, because every fiber in my being knew that that boy was getting out. We began to plan for a homecoming. And then my husband as well had the same thing. One morning when we got up before our prayer time, we always, you look online, they don't call you and tell you about parole. You have to look it up. We looked it up and we saw that Jared's parole had been denied. And I was devastated that day. Sheer devastation. I was in shock because our son has done just great while he's been there. He's finished an education. We turned in all these certificates that he had earned, all these letters of recommendations from his teachers and his wardens and his chaplains, and just a great, what they call a parole packet of positive outcomes since he has been incarcerated for these 8 years. Yet it was denied with really no reason that they could even give or we could determine or even find out. And it was my husband that helped me to realize that all of this is according to the plan of God and the timetable of God. Here's an interesting thing that happened that very day. And this is why 20 minutes a day for the rest of your life is so important. Because that day when I got up off the floor from being just so devastated with that news, I pulled my Bible up to where I was sitting and I started studying where I left off the day before. I mean, I was in Isaiah chapter 49, and I didn't go skimming through the Bible to try to find me a verse for the day to keep the devil away, or I didn't try to go to Psalms or Proverbs or find something to make me feel better. I didn't know I would feel better that day. I wasn't convinced, but I just picked up where I left off the day before, and that's what 20 minutes a day will do for you. It will develop a relationship that you cannot live without. This is what the Bible said that very day of his parole denial in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 24. It says this: if a tyrant steals your plunder, and the definition of plunder is your reward for your battle that's been fought. Well, we have fought a battle. So if a tyrant steals your plunder and a giant holds your people prisoner, you shall know that the Lord your God is on your side. He will defend your cause, and he will rescue your children. I bet I read that verse 40 or 50 times that day, and it brought such comfort. It brought such mercy, such grace, such compassion and love to my heart that day that I remembered the Lord has the final say about our son. And my husband does a great job at reminding me that the Lord has the final say about him.
Now, how's your son? How did your son do with that?
Our son had a setback with that. And here's why. The thing that he asked the Lord that I remember I used to ask in my early days of walking with him is why? Like, why? I did everything right. And I think the hardest thing for him was he was watching people in the prison system that had not done very good things right. They'd not taken any classes. Matter of fact, their activity had not been positive there at all while they were incarcerated, and yet they were being paroled. So he thought, for sure, if some of these guys who really kind of caused some trouble in here, if they're getting paroled, I'm assuring it. I mean, it's going to be great for me. And they got out, and he didn't. So his thing with the Lord was, wow, when I have done everything right and tried to do it, goes back to that successful shipwreck. But with that question, we challenged Jared with this. We said, Jared, we could all ask those questions. Why? Oh, believe me, I could ask why. I've got a ton of questions on why. Let's not ask the Lord why. Let's ask the Lord what. And so we took our why questions and why is everybody else getting out? Why can't I? When I did the right thing and all of those things, you know how your heart does when it's broken.
Yes.
And we begin to ask the Lord what. What now does this make possible? What now will you do as a result of this denial? What now does this mean we're going to experience with you? I encouraged Jared along with me to do a little study in God's Word. He received a 2-year set off. If you're not familiar with the prison lingo, that means this parole has been denied, but in 2 years, he'll come back up for parole again.
Yes.
So we begin to look in God's Word about the number 2. Numbers are important. And if you remember in the story of Joseph, when he was in prison, he thought he was getting out because of the, remember when the cupbearer got out and the baker, all, both of them had been in prison, one got out, and Joseph thought he was getting out, but
yes,
he didn't. He was forgotten, so to speak, for 2 years. It was 2 years later.
Wow, Suzanne, and we know what happened with Joseph, don't we?
We do.
What a feeling it must be. Some may know exactly what it feels like as a parent, as a person. I've had experience like that even in my own life, so it's not so far away from me when I listen to Debbie Stewart about having to wait longer for a loved one. But think about Joseph. Again,
12 years.
Joseph. And what did God do in that process? When you think about your own life, Suzanne, I think about mine, those waiting periods, insanely disappointing moments. Someone is facing that insane disappointment even as we speak. Somehow this touches them. A word of hope to that person. And Suzanne, maybe a prayer as we close today. We've got a couple minutes left.
Well, I'm going to work from Debbie's profound statement, move forward in faith. We just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other and moving forward in faith and making room for the Lord in our life, making room for Him to work. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time with Debbie today. Thank you for the word commitment. She certainly embodies the word commitment. And thank you, Lord, for her directing us to your word. She has shared scripture after scripture. Father God, help us to make that commitment of 20 minutes, at least 20 minutes, and yet perhaps just 20 minutes in your word. And Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to move forward in faith. Faith is full assurance in the heart, and we can have full assurance in the heart, dear Lord, that with your love and with your guidance and with your word, we can move forward. You tell us in the book of Philippians in chapter 1 that you will complete the good work that you've begun in us. And so, Father, today, for our listeners, as well as Danny and myself, we just thank you that we can know you can hold us in your arms of love and that you will deliver us through the shipwreck if you will just cup our faces in your hands of love and cause us to look into your eyes of love and trust you and have faith in you. and receive the endless love that you are offering us. And we just give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. My friend, encouraging insights from Debbie Stewart, and ministry from Suzanne Maurer, hopefortheheart.org. God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. If you haven't done so, I believe this is a perfect moment to open your heart to Christ. Go to thegoodlifeway.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you want to stand with us with your prayers and financial support, thegoodlifeway.com, click Partners. Luke 1:45, and blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Debbie Stewart, hopefortheheart.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Leah Rodriguez, and guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.